Well, hey, beautiful people. Welcome back to another episode of Faith and Friends. I'm your host, your friend, and your sister in Christ, Georgia Brown. And today's extra special bonus episode is sweet. No pun intended. Actually, yes, pun intended. Today, we're hanging out with Mignon Francois, and she is an incredible woman of the Lord that has a new book out called Made from Scratch. But here's the kicker. She is a cupcake and cake queen. She has a cupcake business and cake bakery here in Nashville and also in New Orleans, and she is incredible. I just had the best time talking to her. Seriously, we connected on such a sweet level, and that's the thing. It's the Lord. When you meet fellow sisters in Christ, and that is your firm foundation, my goodness, the wellsprings of life just spring forth, and joy just breaks a heavy yoke. My goodness gracious, we had the sweetest time, and you know what, y'all? We talked a lot about the power of our words. I love where the direction of this conversation went, and it was just so sweet. The Holy Spirit is so kind, and I'm so grateful for Him. So y'all should totally just keep a listening because this episode is filled with so much joy, and I pray that it unexpectedly blesses you. That's what it did for me, this sweet conversation. And Mignon is so precious, and I love her so much. And you know, I'm really hoping to go get a cupcake soon because it is just so sweet. So y'all enjoy this conversation, and let's just go ahead and dive right in. Well, sweet Mignon Francois. Oh, I just love you. You're so cute. Thanks for joining us on Faith and Friends.
Love how you said it.
Did I say it right?
You said it so beautifully. I mean, you said it like you speak French.
Oh,
with a little bit of Southern.
With a little bit of Southern twang to it. You know, you get what you can get and you don't throw a fit. But I just wanted to make sure that I said your name right because it's so beautiful. Like, you can look at it and just not say Mignon. Like, you can literally say something else. And I'm sure you've gotten everything in the book. Have you just come to laugh?
Literally, I write a whole chapter about it in my book about the things that I have been called. And I was like, you cannot really think that my parents named me this, but hey, people think that.
No, people are so silly. I bet even as a kid, was that something that you even wrestled with a little bit? Because I know even with my name, they're like, your name's a state, or they just call me Ginger, and like all this stuff where your name has such significance to it. What was that like growing up?
Oh my gosh, growing up, I got ridiculed for my name. I got ridiculed for the color of my eyes. I got ridiculed for the color of my hair. And as I grew, I began to realize that these were the things that God was calling me. And these were the things that made me beautiful in His sight. And so while I didn't think I was beautiful, God had called me beautiful. And He said so in the meaning of my name. So it wasn't until I did a deep dive and searched in on what the meaning of my name was that I understood that God made me like this. And it is beautiful and marvelous in His eyes. And that's been something that I've been teaching young women ever since, that there is power and purpose in finding the meaning of your name.
Girl, I'm so glad you're passionate about that because I am too. I think it's so sweet because that's what's spoken over you the most. And we need to know that. And it's just, oh, girl, go in. I feel
that's
like you're about
so
to.
That's so good. That's so good. I've never, ever seen it that way, Georgia.
Like when you talk to your kids or your friends or like that, you're reaffirming what God has called you. And so like for me, my name means farmer and I'm kind of laughing at myself. I have overalls on today and a bandana and a hat, but I digress. I'm a farmer and it's like, okay, I'm just going to plant seeds. That's what God's called me to do. And my seasons may look different. There's a season for planting, a season for reaping, a season for resting, but it's like leaning into that. And so to our friends listening, like, first of all, your identity in Christ is number one, like that's it. And I think too, even with the meaning of our name and what other people say to us, we can like hold on to those as our identity markers, but we have to make Christ our foundation because then we can find out more who we are made in Him. And then that's when you realized your name is beautiful. You have a purpose and you're not an accident. Like everything about you, like down to every hair on your head, like girl, when my hair starts falling out, I'm like, oh, He knew.
I love that. I love that. And I love that you said it's the thing that's most spoken over you. That's so true because we take for granted that these are words with meaning. Yep. Right. Yep. And when I was a little girl, we sang the song, "Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say."
Oh.
And when you think about the fact that your name is a word spoken over you, man, that's good. I'm stealing it.
Yeah. Take it, girl. It's free. If it's free, it's for me. You know what I'm saying? When I, even in the Bible, like we read those names, we need to pay more attention to that. Think about those names where it's like that his name means curse, or
yes,
or they named a town after a battle, like all these different yes things where it's like that is significant. And so
yes,
your words do matter. And so I said this to my mom on the phone this morning because she was like, I'm kind of worried about this. And I said to her this morning, I said, don't give the enemy your tongue today.
Mm-hmm. Ooh!
You know? Like, watch your mouth. Watch your words.
That's good. Oh, my gosh. That's good. And the thing about it is, you know, when I name my children, I name them with such intention. Mm. And again, like I said, we talk extensively about this in this book about how there's nothing new under the sun. So if there's nothing new, then the way we're naming children are still the same. We've just gotten so far away from God. We think that it's us and it's not.
Shoot, you're right though. So tell me about those babies. How many do you have?
Oh my gosh. I like to say it like this. I have 6 + 1, meaning that I raised 6 and then one sort of, you know, adopted our family. And so we were invited to continue raising her on. And it's from the time she was 14 and now she's about to be 30.
Mm.
Amazing. And then I have 8 grandchildren.
The blessings just keep a flowing. Oh, that's amazing. How special. Like that really ties into your story too, when it talks about your family. And as we talk about this book, Made from Scratch, Finding Success Without a Recipe, I got to just read this little synopsis here because it's just, girl, I just think you're so awesome. All you have is all you need is the life lesson entrepreneur Mignon Francois learned as she turned the $5 she had to feed her family dinner for the week into a multi-million dollar bakery brand. My gosh, what the heck? With no experience, no recipe for success, or cake for that matter, her path was truly made from scratch. Like, this is incredible. It is about sharing your story, climbing out of the life pits of continual upsets, struggles, and lack to then build legacy. I mean, mm-hmm, that is what it's all about. And you're paving mm-hmm the way for your family, for truly God's people, like you know what I mean, like us as a generation, and so I just think you're awesome, and I want to hear all the things. Take
first
me back.
Of all, woo! You are a ball of joy and energy.
Ah, praise God. Praise God. Thank you. It's so fun. I get so fired up because like it is, we overcome the enemy by the blood of the lamb and the word of the testimony, and like your story matters, and the fact that we get to share it today, like that is just like the coolest thing ever to me.
Yeah. What is it like? One of the things that I'm hoping that people will get from it when in the part where you're saying all you have is all you need is that truly I am the poster child for economic disparity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is what it looks like.
Hello.
You know, like my face is shining bright, girl. I'm looking, you know, nothing is out of place. Right. I've got a smile even on my face. And you don't know that it was a decision that I was making between getting my children to school today and electricity.
Yeah.
And we were living in our home without electricity. Some days I couldn't take my children to school because we couldn't afford the gas. Mm. And I know that there are people, women that look just like me who are pulling it together. They're not standing with signs saying that they will work for food, because just like those people who are out there with signs saying they will work for food, there's just as many people or more people that are sitting behind cubicles trying to work for food as well. So it's like we are all in the same boat together. And I just want people to know that wherever you are, it's happening for you, not to you.
Mm.
All of the things that you are up against are happening for you, not to you, if you'll just weave them together and look for the lesson. And that's the biggest, greatest thing that I think I found throughout this process was I was looking to see what God was trying to show me, because in the end, I was running my house on a generator and filling up the bathtub with bottled water from the grocery store and then having the baby go first because he was the cleanest in 2005, 2008, right in the middle of a recession. As we think about so many people being concerned about recession right now, this is a perfect jumping off time to follow God right into that thing that he has purposed you to do. Right into that thing that's been on your mind and on your heart to be able to create. This is the time. A lot of people say, well, you know, what about our money? We need to save and we need to prepare. And I just feel like so much happens in a recession to show you what the problems are and how you can be the answer to a problem, right? Because every business is the answer to a problem. For me, my problem was I needed to eat, I needed to feed my children, and we needed to get out of debt. But at the same time, we solved another problem in making sure that I fed them. By creating this bakery brand, we brought to the community something that hadn't existed in this part of Nashville yet.
Ever. Yeah.
And so when we started realizing that there was a reason to celebrate and people needed a reason to celebrate and they needed things that were made from scratch. They needed a baker in their corner that could make something for their child that had this one little allergy or this one little nuance. And we started realizing that people needed the recipe that I had come up with. And that's what they were using to celebrate with. They were celebrating small wins. They were celebrating big accomplishments. They were realizing that I could use this cake and see somebody, like, let you know, I see you today. And so I brought you a cupcake for that. You know, like, I feel like for every celebration, there's a cupcake for that.
Yes. I love that. And it's always a good day for a cupcake. Every day that ends in Y. Like, this is just so sweet. And I'm blown away by the goodness of the Lord. Because I heard a friend say this last week. You're not waiting for God. You're waiting with him. You're waiting with him. And so even through that, like through the bathwater, the babies, the baking, like all of it, like he was in the midst of it and you didn't give up on him and he never once has ever given up on you as his girl. And so your faith, like I just would love to hear about your faith during that time. Like when you have nothing, it made me think of Mark 12 with the widow's offering where she came with two small copper coins.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is what I have, God. This is what I have. And it's not about the quantity, but the quality of heart as you bring it. And so when I think about your story, I just think about that where you just come and you're like, Lord Jesus, like, I need you. Like, and you're the same. Like, hello. It's just beautiful.
I believe that our faith is like currency.
Yeah.
I believe faith and money have the same properties and that the return on investment is different. The Bible says that if you have faith as a mustard seed, you could tell a mountain to move from here to there. And I don't care who you are on the earth, how much money you got. You could be Oprah, you know, you could be Gail, you could be everybody else, right? But you are not making a mountain move. I don't care how much money you have. But the Bible says if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can cause that mountain to get from here to there and it'll go. And I just feel like we have so many mountains in our way. And sometimes we allow those mountains to be bigger than our God. And I was reading in worship this morning. And one of the things that I read this morning was, I stand at the intersection of here and now. Those are the coordinates where I have placed you. And when you said that you're going with God, oh my gosh, it was so good. You know, when we're trying to be successful, it's like success is at a collision where opportunity and preparation collide. And that's where, you know, success can rise out of the ashes. And I just believe, like the Bible says, wherever, if you make your bed in hell, I'm there.
I'm there.
Wherever you are in this space, I am with you. I'm always with you. And that's the thing that I learned from God throughout this whole process, is that from finding out that I wasn't actually ugly and to finding out that I indeed was beautiful and using this faith that he had given me from the beginning to walk into rooms and say, okay, look, this is what we're doing today. And it has saved my business through opening during a recession to thriving in spite of one. And I just want people to know that it doesn't matter what the world says. It just matters what God says.
Amen. That is the truth. And I love that it's made from scratch. You know, that's what he did with us. He knit us in secret. Like, he knew what he was doing. And then I also think about 1 Corinthians 12 and the parts of the body. Like, when you're baking those amazing cupcakes, like that baking soda on its own, you're not like, here, guys, here you go. Like, bye. Like, I'm sorry, but that just wouldn't do nothing for nobody. But when you bring it together with your butter, with your eggs, with your flour, you add those sprinkles, you pipe that frosting, you write and decorate that cake and give it for the big celebration, the tiny win. Golly, like, the body is so important, and we need entrepreneurs. We need people that will step into their creativity. And so really, truly, like, our faith has to be bigger than our fear, because there is no fear, because he didn't give us a spirit of fear. So let's talk about that.
I love that you said that, because, you know, we're always talking about, you know, do it afraid.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I hope people will read this book, Made from Scratch, Finding Success Without a Recipe. I want them to read it for if nothing else, to stop doing it afraid.
Yeah.
You know, we've always been encouraged to do it afraid, but God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind.
That's it.
And I learned to do it in faith. What God was showing me when he was waking me up in the morning to give me this whole idea that he was going to give me. And when my neighbor knocked on the door, I was sitting in the back of my house trying to go through what I'm going to do with the last $5 that I have to feed my family. I'm in the dark because we don't have electricity. It's 2008. It's the middle of a recession in Nashville. We work in the industry in the construction field. So house market is down. We don't have any work right now. And my neighbor's knocking on the door asking me to give her the last of what I have for my children. And I say, okay, God, really? You bring me this opportunity to make cupcakes for everybody when I don't have enough money and I don't have any electricity. God said, how much? He said, birds don't toil. They don't store up in barns. The flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, even Solomon and all of his greatness didn't look like one of these. Aww. How much more will I do for you who looks just like me? And so I took God, what he was saying, and I put my shoes on and I went around the corner and bought all the ingredients that I could buy and spent that $5 and turned it into $60 that day. And I turned that 60 into 600 by the end of the week. And I've been flipping that exact same money for the last 17 years to over 5 million cupcakes sold. And here's the thing about it. Fear had nothing to do with that.
No.
Had I been afraid, then fear says to me, well, if I use the $5, then what are we supposed to eat? Well, if I use the $5, well, what if she doesn't pay me? Right. Mm. Fear is the voice in your head that's telling you that you cannot do it, when God is saying, I am able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you can even ask or think. So while you worrying about what you're afraid of, I'm over here saying, catch up to me.
Woo!
And when I took God at, like, catch up to me, that's when I started realizing I couldn't move fast enough for God.
Girl, you're a Bible woman and I love it. That's my favorite. Matthew 6, when I think about the birds, they do not worry. Worry adds nothing to your life.
Yeah.
The enemy's a liar. Fear is a liar. So my gosh, girl, you're hyping me up today and getting so excited. This is what it is all about. And you know what? You don't reap until you sow.
Mm-hmm.
But when you sow, you reap more than you sow, because he is the God of abundance.
Right. And I heard a guy say it like this: the harvest can never be smaller than the seed.
Mm.
So it's like whatever you plant, you're gonna get more, because what you reap, there's also seed in what you reap.
Girl.
And so it's just like, from that one watermelon that you might get, or that one strawberry that you get, there's seed.
Oh.
And there's more that can be planted. And you will never be able to do more than the God who came up with in the first place. And I think sometimes we're thinking these things are our ideas.
Oh, I know. We think we're so smart. My gosh, we are not. We are so desperate and in need of him. Like, golly, we got to give him more credit because we can't outgive God. Like, we just keep giving him our yes, keep giving him our time, our talents, our treasures. My gosh, like, we don't need to store them up here on earth. We need to store them in heaven.
Yes.
And even with your ingredients, like maybe like a cup and a half of flour, that makes more than a cup and a half. Like, that's just so interesting to think about, is just follow the process. Like, my gosh, this is fun. Wow.
I love that, you know, as entrepreneurs, you get an opportunity to be in alignment with God, in the sense of God is a creator, right? He's a maker who spoke and said, all the things that are mine, I'm giving the Holy Spirit to teach you so that you can do them too. And one of the first things he did was spoke things into existence. But with our mouths, we speak death over ourselves and we say what we cannot do instead of doing what God told us to do. And that is follow my lead, follow my example, ask me, knock. And as I'm standing on the door, knock. Ask for whatever you need from me and I'll give it to you. And it's all about being able, once again, to use your words and use your mouth to speak life. And that was one of the things that God had told me. He was awakening me every morning at 3:17 to give me the idea of this business. And as I was getting up every morning, he was bringing me into communion and to collaboration with him. And one of the things that he said to me as he was, it was weeks I was waking up every morning to read through the Bible and started in any book, chapter 3, verse 17, when he basically told me, I'm going to show you how much I love you, but don't turn away from what I've told you to do from the left or to the right. And if you do everything that I tell you to do, then you will be prosperous and successful. And everything you place your hands to do, I will bless it. And that's what I want people to know, that God is calling us into collaboration with him to do a new thing. A lot of times we look to the past and say, oh, I want it just like Susie Haddon. I want a podcast just like Georgia Brown. God's not going to give us just like Georgia Brown, because he's got so many things that he can give us. The Bible says, see, I'm doing a new thing. And while you're asking God to give you what the other person had, or while you're being jealous over what the other person has, or while you're coveting over what the other person had, God said, already, I'm making a new thing for you. I'm stirring up something new. Can't you feel it? Don't you see it coming? And I feel like that's what God was showing me. I was so busy looking at what everybody else was doing. I was just trying to make sure that my children had field trip money. I was just trying to make sure that I could feed them. And God said, I'm doing a new thing in you. And not only I'm going to give you enough to provide for them, you're going to lead them into a legacy. And I was just not even ready for the things that God was going to do in me and through me, for me and for others.
Mic drop. I mean, we get to choose what ends and begins with us. And we get to speak that life over it and say, you know, poverty stops with me. This generational curse stops with me. You know, whatever it may be, it's like, I'm going to rise up and lead, and I'm going to let God lead the story. And that is just so good. So we have to speak life over it. And I love the collaboration. For me, I'm a musician. And so I think about this with leading worship, or, you know, just being creative in general. We were made to be creative. And oh, I heard a quote where it said, every child is a creative until they're told they're not. And then they shut down, right? And you just go into that cookie cutter, and we're all about cupcakes.
Yeah, because who told you that?
Back to the garden, girl. Yeah. Just back to the garden.
Who told you that? It's like, who told you what you couldn't do? Who told you what you weren't capable of? Who told you that you should be afraid? Who told you that?
Who are you letting speak into you?
Yeah. I heard a preacher say this. His name is TJ Tyus. He said, you are not responsible for the thoughts that come into your mind, but you are responsible for the thoughts and for the growth of those thoughts. And so he was talking about how Satan went before God and ask God, you know, could he do something to Job? And so the very words that Satan had said to God, Job's wife said to him, you should curse God and die.
I know.
It was just like, how did she know to say those exact things? Because Satan went and whispered to her, you should tell him to curse God and die, right?
Yep, yep.
And so that was a thought that was planted in his mind. And one of the things he said in that particular, that same particular talk, he said, that your thoughts are seeds and you aren't the only one planting.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, that's so good.
It's true.
But you are responsible for the growth of those thoughts. And so when we say that we're afraid, we're doing the very thing that God called us into, where we use our mouth to speak what we're seeking, right? Because in creation, God spoke it and then it happened, right? Yeah. So but we can use our mouths for good, to speak life over ourselves. And what God was telling me at 3:17 in the morning, on one of the very last days he woke me up, I was in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I believe it was. And he said to me, choose life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving you any more ideas. So the very fact that you start and you start and you start and you start a new thing and you start a new thing and you start a new thing and you never finish it, I'm not giving you anything else.
Mm.
So if you don't finish this idea and see it all the way to fruition, then you're choosing not to have life. And God, and the word of God tells us that God came that we might have life more abundantly. We might have life to the full. And so I'm asking God, God, help me. I need field trip money, God. God, help me. I need electricity money. God, help me. I need to save my house. And God said, I already gave you a plan. You just won't follow it. So if you want to follow my plan, then that's choosing life, or we can follow your plan and that'll just be death and destruction. So which one do you want? And I just feel like I got tired of having the same old thing. And I just decided that if I wanted to have a different example or a different life for my family, I was going to have to go with God. And I knew that if he presented it to me, he was responsible for the outcome. I love saying it like this. If God orders the meal, he's responsible for the bill. And I knew that if God said it, that should settle it. And so I began to repeat back to God the things that he said to me about me and the things that he said he would help me with and the things that he said he would do for me and through me. And I began to go in boldness with what God had said to me, always staying in what those promises are, because I think it's like 7,500 promises in the Bible that are there for us to just to take.
Yeah. And we need to take him at his word. He is the word. And so for you to like remind him, like, Lord, you know who you are. I'm just going to remind you, you're the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. Yep. Like the song says, but you know, Lord, in Deuteronomy and Numbers, I will bless you and keep you, the Aaronic blessing, like all this different things, like, girl, that's where you put feet to your faith.
Yes.
And you rise up. And I love what you said about thoughts to in seeds, because truly it's much easier to uproot a thought as a seed rather than a tree. Because if you have this mentality of I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, it becomes a tree, and flowers and weeds grow together like the wheat and the tares, and they kind of can look deceiving, and it's harder to uproot. It's not impossible. Nothing is with God. Yeah. But for you to take that seed and just say, That ain't from God. Like, I know his voice. I'm up at 3:17. I'm up reading his word. So we got to be in the word, because those promises are spoken in the secret place, because his voice is a gentle whisper. And like, just the overflow of your heart, I know you know him. Like, you know him. And his promises are yes and amen. And we have never seen the righteous forsaken. And so this book made from scratch, like, it is for us for now. Like, this is a now rhema word. And so I'm so pumped. Where can all of our friends get this? And oh, girl, I need to come get a cupcake. You're in Nashville.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Listen, I love it when God puts sisters from another mister on the same channel with me.
Hey.
Because listen, everybody can get the book on Amazon.com. It's called Made from Scratch, Finding Success Without a Recipe. It's on pre-order sale right now. And then it'll be available on May 9th. But I'm just saying, if you need to know what you can do, if you believe, this book is for you. If you are up in the middle of the night trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents, this book is for you. And I tell people the how. I tell them how I did it in this book, but how I did it with God. And so this wasn't my idea. This was a God idea. And that's all you need. You don't need a good idea. You need one God idea.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I love you, sister. You're fun.
I love you right back. I can't wait to eat cupcakes with you at the Cupcake Collection.
I know. I'll be there soon, y'all. All of the links to everything is in the show notes. The book, Louisiana's Amazing Cupcake, and Nashville. So come get you one, and it's just going to be sweet.
Yeah.
I told you this was going to be a sweet episode. I sure hope you enjoyed our time today with Mignon. I sure did. She knows her Savior. It's so evident. That joy, it comes straight from Jesus. And y'all should totally check out her new book. I am so inspired by the way the Lord uses our stories, all for His glory. Truly, it all points back to Him. And she is made from scratch. And guess what? So are we, knitted in our mother's womb, made in secret. And it's just like a cake. Like, one ingredient by itself isn't as sweet as put together in a cake. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't be eating baking soda just by itself or a raw egg. But when you put it all together, it's just like the body of Christ. Isn't that such a sweet thing? And so when the Lord is writing our story, all for His glory, know that it is significant. Today has purpose. And today is enough. Yesterday prepared you for this moment, and today is preparing you for tomorrow. And you know what? If you have $5 in your bank account, that's okay. Look at how Mignon turned it around. The Lord will use the little. Because you don't reap until you sow. But when you sow, you reap more than you sow. Such a beautiful biblical principle. We serve such an amazing God, y'all. I love Him so much. But I just love you, and I truly hope you have an amazing rest of your day. But before we go, again, of course, I would just love to pray for you. Lord God, we enter your gates right now with praise, and we enter your courts with thanksgiving. You are so worthy of our praise, and I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for our family of faith. I thank you for friends, God. I thank you for this Faith and Friends community. And as we got to hang out with Mignon today, I thank you for her life, for her story, how you're writing it all, for her good and your utmost glory, God. I pray that we would understand the power and the significance of our name and of the words that we speak. May we speak life. And God, hold our tongue if we are trying to speak anything but that over ourselves or over other people, God. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. May we fix our eyes on what is unseen, because what is unseen is eternal, but what is seen is temporary. So even if in the natural things don't make sense, God, may we fix our eyes up on you. Upon heaven, our heavenly home, knowing that we are just passing through. But as we're passing through, Lord, you want us to have life and life more abundantly. So I speak abundant life over the Faith and Friends community, Lord. I thank you. You are so good. And I pray over every dream over the Faith and Friends community, every friend under the sound of my voice, over their dreams and desires, God. You're the one that placed them there. And you know what? We're still discovering them. There are things you've placed on our hearts that we don't even know about yet. But God, may we be ready for them. Get us ready, Lord. And so I thank you for today. It is significant. It is important. And so may I work wholeheartedly unto the Lord. May our friends work wholeheartedly unto the Lord, and not unto people, but unto King Jesus, unto our Father in heaven. God, I thank you for the Holy Spirit, and I pray that your voice would just be the loudest in our lives. And I pray that we would yield to you, that we would be quick to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Lord, you are so good, and I love you so much. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that all God's people say, amen. Well, friends, thank you. Thanks for joining us. And we will be back to our prayer series on Friday. So make sure to join us. We're going to have a sweet, sweet time. Again, yes, pun intended. But don't forget, until I see you next time, there is a song on your heart. Only you can sing. Your voice is so important.